Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 21st day of September 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the agricultural cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. December contract up 7.25 at 384.5 in the corn pit. The March contract 7.5 higher at $3.96. The May at 403.5 up 7.5, and July at 409, 7.25 higher. September up 7.5 at 403.75. Next year's December corn, $4.95 up 6.75 cents. Soy complex November beans up 7, 874.25 the settlement price. January at 878.75, 7.25 higher, and the March at 882.25 up 7.5 cents. May at 885 up 7, July 889.75 up 7, and next year's November beans up 8.25 at $8.78.5. Bean meal futures for the afternoon at 309.60, finished 60 cents higher in the October. Bean oil up 45 cents at 26.50. Wheat futures a softer at December contract up a dime, $4.96.75 the settlement price. July at 512.75 up 10.5. The hard red gained 8.25 for the harvest month. July at 524.25. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the October at 136.75, up 75 cents. The October, rather, September feeder cattle at 194.60, up $1.80. October at 187.27.5, or $1.45.5 higher at the end of the day. They're still trading, of course. Lean hogs in the October up about 62.5 cents at this hour at $71.67.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. We post our agricultural programming to willag.org. That's willag.org. Visit there and listen to our programs anytime you'd like.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Checking the outside markets at this hour, futures in the crude oil for the October at $46.58 a barrel are now $1.90 higher. Ethanol futures at $1.57 a gallon, up 3.3 cents for the afternoon. Gasoline on the wholesale price, $1.40.3 per gallon, up 4.7 cents. And diesel fuel is 2.1 and 4 cents. Natural gas in the October at 2.57 and 3 cents. That's up 3.2 cents for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 77 degrees. Tonight, clear and a low of 49. Tuesday, sunny and 79. Tuesday night, clear with a low of 53. Wednesday, sunny and 80. Wednesday night, clear and 55. Thursday, sunny and 81. Thursday night, partly cloudy and 58. Friday, sunny and 81. Friday night, cloudy and 57. Saturday, sunny and 80 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 56. And Sunday, sunny and 79 degrees. Just to repeat that, sunny on this afternoon. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday should be a great week to get into the field, at least by the end of the week. We'll talk a bit more about that with Kurt Kimmel in just a moment, right here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. It is the 21st day of September 2015. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
On this Monday afternoon, Kurt Kimmel is here to take a look at the marketplace. Thanks, Kurt, for being with us on the Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. Let's talk a little bit about the past weekend. There was quite a little bit of rain. I know over a 24-hour period, I picked up around almost 5 inches at my home in Mahomet. There are some other places certainly that had that much, maybe a little bit more. How widespread was that? How long will it keep folks out of the field, do you suppose?
Yeah, we had anywhere from 2 to 3 inches here locally. It was kind of hit and miss as it moved across the Midwest, but dried out. It was drying out fairly quickly. We were kind of dry before that. There's guys growing fairly heavy now. For those that we see 5 inches, it's going to be another day or two. But like you mentioned there, guys selling sunglasses are going to do real well. The sun's going to be out, and it's going to be relatively warm. It looks like it's dry clear into September. There's a next front coming across Midwest. It's got a chance for precipitation. It will be when the calendar turns the 1st of October. But actually, guys, we were talking about the beans were a little too dry. They needed some rain in some areas there. So kind of hit and miss for the most part. But harvest activity is expected to be only anywhere from 10% to 12% complete in the nation in corn, bean harvesting anywhere from this 4% to 6% complete. That's just a percentage, 1 to 2% slower than the average pace, but for the most part, guys can make up a lot of ground in a hurry here.
So why is it that we rallied corn today 7 cents?
Several things. One, we saw a export sales announcement of 487,000 tons of corn sold to Mexico. We're seeing yields coming in just a little bit, disappointing. That's been well advertised, but it's continued to be the trend. And also, too, we saw a little bit of help from the wheat market. So there are several things to give reason to be a buyer fundamentally. Technically, these corn touched 375, an area of support that kind of held. There was some good buying interest in the market at that level there from the technicians and from the fundamental side of end users trying to get a little coverage on. As the day wore on, the selling paper just kind of dried up and it created a vacuum. They estimated that they were overall buying anywhere from 3 to 5,000 contracts of corn on the day, which is not a heavy amount, but it was enough to give us an outside up day. Made a new low in this move and closed higher than the previous day high, suggesting that today's low, 375, should be fairly good support. For those guys wanting to be a speculator here, you can buy the market or pull back and put a stop under today's low and see if we can't test this 390 area.
You expect that we'll continue to move higher overnight tonight once we get started again with the session?
I think we'll see some follow through. We'll give it a good old-fashioned try. We feel this fairly good resistance up towards 390, and I have a feeling that we're going to get the turnaround Tuesday tomorrow.
We'll talk to Wayne Nelson, of course, about that tomorrow. He gets all the turnaround Tuesdays, and more often than not, at least as of recent, he's been turned around to the downside. So we'll see how things go for him. How about the soybean market at this time? You said the soybeans needed a bit of rain. They've been coming in really quite good across a good portion of what we've heard for the early harvest. Do you think that will continue?
We kind of feel so. There's a few 90 plus bushel beans. There's some 30, 40 bushels in some spots. But there's enough of an area now that ideas are that maybe the soybean yield can maybe hang in there, if not be bumped up a bushel or so. But the big question is harvested acres, and it's going to take a long time to figure out, but that's the main thing is in here. These bean yields just continue to remain much better than expected. Funds bought about 3,000 contracts of beans today. Beans were kind of the follower. We did see a 240,000-ton bean sale on the destination. The big news is they'll be watching the Chinese delegation here in the U.S. this week and see if they could do one of those long-term grain agreements for, say, anywhere 2 to 5 million metric tons. But the commodity that kind of held in there and really helped the whole complex was the wheat market.
Right.
Concerns about dry weather in Russia. And also, too, there's talk about dry weather in northern Brazil. Even though it is their dry time, they're not quite as dry as in the past. And actually, southern Brazil is a little too wet. And that might be a factor as we move down the road, being too wet in the southern hemisphere, not being able to get the beans. But wheat does get the star here. It did close higher today. We see if December wheat can't break the $5 level here and see some short covering from the funds, because there's huge shorts there.
Even in the United States out west, they've been awfully dry, and I'm told, we'll hear this in just a bit, in fact, that they're planting into dust in many places for the hard red winter wheat planting belt.
Yeah, the old saying, plant in the dust and watch the bins bust. So we'll see if that theory comes true or not. But they're getting right with it. Yes, they are.
What do you see in the livestock for this afternoon?
Oh, no real surprise. Cattle and feed report was a supporting factor in the beef sector. You know, on feed, we're still looking, 3-4% above a year ago. The placements and marketing's, overall disappearance, still below 100% there. But the idea is that we could see some more numbers as we go into October. So the market did not get overextended to the upside. The concern is overall beef consumption. It's kind of slowed down in through here. Hog-wise, October's coming up, pork month. We need to see a good pork month to keep the price up here because we're still killing over 8% more than a year ago. So we need to make sure we continue to move the product to the retail shelf here to keep that demand strong.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. In today's agricultural news, there's good and bad news for agriculture, thanks to the AFBF and the Federal Reserve's decision last week to keep its key overnight lending rate unchanged. Yes, farmers will be able to keep borrowing at low interest rates, key now for operating loans, to stay ahead of low commodity prices and flat to rising production cost. However, American Farm Bureau Federation Chief Economist Bob Young says higher interest rates are coming.
You know, sooner or later, you got to do it. Just do it. And I think even as in Yellen's statement, we're not going to do it right now, but we are going to do it. Well, okay, then just do it. Just get it over with.
Fed Chair Janet Yellen said it's expected the federal funds overnight rate will rise to 1.5% late next year, 2.5% in 2017, and 3.5% in 2018. In the meantime, Farm Bureau's Young expects the Fed's holding off on higher rates to have some impact on commodity prices.
By not raising rates, we're going to talk about possibly a little bit lower interest or lower exchange rate. Might get us to the stage where we could ship a little bit more grain, more oil seeds, et cetera. Just in general, make our product that much more competitive.
However, continued access to cheap debt can also lead to deflation that saps demand and pushes prices even lower. Speaking of which, University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good has been digging through last week's FSA acreage numbers, and he thinks they may point to a lower planted acreage figure for soybeans, possibly down 1.6 million acres, and a substantial reduction in the marketing year carryout, too.
With a national average yield near 47 bushels, a 1.6 million acre decline represents 75 million bushels. Assuming the difference between planted and harvested acreage remains near the current estimate. With all other WASDE balance sheet projections unchanged, a decline of that magnitude would point to year-ending stocks of 375 million bushels rather than the 450 million bushels currently projected.
Again, based on the nature of the 2015 planting season, Darrell Good judges the NAS October acreage estimate could be small enough to lower the projection of the 15-16 marketing year ending stocks to less than 400 million bushels. Stocks at that level, he thinks, would be expected to support prices at the current low levels. On the other hand, higher prices will likely require some combination of a lower yield forecast or improved export demand. Speaking of demand, an end user of soybeans, the chicken industry has produced more ready-to-cook meat than a year ago. But the market demand is absorbing the production. That's up some 7%, that according to analysis by Stevens Incorporated. Still, demand for broilers is strong due to the relative price of chicken to other proteins. Meanwhile, wings are more popular than ever, and not just in football season. In recovering export markets should support breast and leg quarter prices, too. Export markets remain a challenge after more than 40 countries ban U.S. chickens due to the spring avian flu influenza. Total exports are down about 10% from a year ago. On that note, a letter to Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack by the Senate Ag Committee last week asked questions over avian influenza and a possible vaccine. The letter came days before USDA announced a plan to deal with possible outbreaks this fall. USDA's Animal Plant and Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, released the plan for potential outbreaks of highly pathogenic avian influenza. The fall 2015 HPAI influenza preparedness and response plan focuses on preventing or reducing future outbreaks, enhancing preparedness, improving and streamlining response capabilities, and preparing for the potential use of AI vaccines. The report includes an updated biosecurity self-assessment for the poultry industry and a draft vaccine use strategy as well. HPAI, or high path, affected more than 48.8 million birds in 21 states before the final detection on June the 17th this past summer. You can see the plan, of course, online at the aphis.usda.gov website. And finally today, we'll head out west, where despite dry conditions, wheat growers from Texas to the western parts of Kansas are planting early and expected to plant about the average number of acres this year. Texas A&M small grain specialist Clark Neely says a lot of them are just dusting it in.
It's fairly common practice, especially for growers who want to get forage production in the fall, that they will just kind of dust it in. Or broadcast the seed or drill the seed and just wait for rain.
Neely says early planting often brings problems.
You tend to maximize green bridge effect, where insects or disease can basically survive from volunteers from the previous crop into the new crop.
And the Texas A&M small grain specialist says most of the early planting wheat will be grazed off rather than harvested. That's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, and up next, an animal nutritionist at the University of Illinois has quantified the importance of particle size in ground feed for hogs. Grinding corn to finer particle sizes can increase its feed efficiency by up to 5%, says Hans Stein.
They don't gain any more, but they eat a little bit less to gain the same. So the pigs, they adjust their energy intake to a certain level, and that means if you have more energy in that corn because you ground it finer, then they will have to eat a little bit less, so their feed conversion is improved. That means you will have fewer pounds of feed used to produce a market hog.
Stein is a swine nutritionist at the U of I. He investigated the effect of different particle sizes of ground corn when fed to pigs. The corn was ground to 800, 600, 400, and 300 microns.
And what we discovered there was that amino acids and phosphorus digestibility does not change at all. It doesn't really matter what the particle size is. Pigs are very efficient in digesting those nutrients. But when it came to starch, we saw a linear increase in starch digestibility as we reduced the particle size of corn. And the highest digestibility was with the lowest particle size of corn.
This is because more starch is digested in the pig's small intestine, causing more glucose to be absorbed and therefore increasing the amount of available energy.
And sure enough, we saw that the energy in the corn grain increased as we reduce the particle size. So a pig will get more energy out of corn, 1 pound of corn, if it's ground to 300 microns instead of 800 microns.
And this is where the savings come into play. The feed conversion rate improves by about 1.2% for every 100 micron reduction in particle size, a saving, say, 7 pounds of corn to finish a pig.
Or you can say if you want to formulate your diet to a certain amount of energy, then you can take some of the fat out, because usually we use fat to add more energy. But if you have a smaller particle size, you can actually take some of the fat out, and the pigs will do exactly as they did with more fat in the diet, just because you had a smaller particle size.
There are a couple of negatives to the smaller grind. The feed does not flow nearly so well, and there's an increased risk of stomach ulcers. Well, the Illinois nutritionist says hog producers should try smaller grinds over time, ratcheting down 100 microns every couple of months. Rations with higher fiber contents will be most successful at the lower particle sizes. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. Amy Sage is on the line. She's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Amy, thanks so much. I bet you expected as you headed into the weekend that you might be busy today, but I would think that the rainfall probably has slowed things down dramatically.
It definitely has slowed things down dramatically. We are seeing some stuff come in, some corn and some beans, but definitely not the traffic that we originally anticipated for the beginning of this week.
Is there a particular direction those are coming from? Are they from the west?
Mostly to the south.
To the south.
And then we do actually have some stuff actually coming from up around the Rantoul area that that doesn't sound like they're picking up any mud. So right through this area in Champaign, west and east, it seems like that's really where it got hammered. I know I had 4.3 inches there at Royal. Around Thomasboro, heard 5 inches. And so those areas, I think, are out for a little while. But to the south, we are seeing a little bit come in, and some to the north as well.
Yeah, I can't imagine that Rantoul is able to run, but
I know it. I guess it just depends on what spot you're in, and it's definitely north of town. So
yeah. All right, well, they must have big tracks. I don't know. It seems like they ought not to be in the field, but I suppose they are at this point. Everything's coming in really dry, right?
Corn's drying down pretty well. We're seeing below 20 for our average that we're dumping in a day now. And beans have been very dry, coming in 8-9%. So we haven't seen a ton yet, but what has come in has been very dry.
I know my brothers in that Springfield, Logan County area have been operating for about a week. They tend to be about 10 days ahead of this area, and they think their loads are averaging roughly 16%.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they're really dry in that area, amazingly enough, but
yeah.
Not great corn for sure.
But
it's been dry, and I guess you can expect to see that. What are your bids for the day?
Yes, we're 363 for cash corn, January 380, new crop 16 at 373, cash soybeans 847, January 855, new crop 845.
All right, thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons. She's from right here in Champaign County. Back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
It's National Pecan Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1756, John McAdam was born. He invented macadam pavement for roads. In 1816, as surveyor to the Bristol Turnpike Trust, he remade their roads with a raised carriageway to improve drainage. Stones were graded and laid in three levels, with the smallest stones crushed and laid as a top surface. By the way, the macadamia nut was named for him. In 1921, a huge explosion at a fertilizer factory in Germany caused 500 deaths. The fertilizer was a 50-50 mix of ammonium nitrate and ammonium sulfate, which together had a tendency to clump. It was a routine to use dynamite and bulldozers to break up the clumped fertilizer, but this time the TNT set off an explosion of 4,500 tons of fertilizer, which created a crater 250 feet in diameter and 50 feet deep. In 1961, Earl Dixon died. His wife had frequent kitchen accidents, cutting or burning herself. Dixon devised a way that she could easily apply her own dressings. He prepared ready-made bandages by placing squares of cotton gauze at intervals along an adhesive strip. Dixon worked at Johnson & Johnson as a cotton buyer, and his home idea led to the mass production of Band-Aids. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Monday afternoon, we're joined by Mark Russo. He's the Senior Weather Analyst at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago. Thanks so much for being with us, Mark. Tell me about the rainfall over the weekend. There were some spots that really got heavy rainfall. We're in one of those areas. Other places, I think, were a little bit, but looks like we're going to have weather that's really beautiful for harvest across a good portion of the Midwest this week.
Yeah, well, certainly with the weekend rainfall totals, the Champaign-Urbana region was one of the wettest spots here with some 2 to 4 inches, even some localized heavier amounts. We saw also swath of similar totals up in northern Illinois, some adjacent areas of Iowa, and southern Wisconsin. And that was with the rain activity then that ended primarily by Saturday morning, with Friday being really the bulk of rains. But yeah, as you mentioned here, that has changed. And in fact, the next 7 days looks dry across the Midwest. In fact, there's even potential that we can go 10 days without any additional rains, not only across Illinois, but across much of the Midwest, with the only exception being the far western Midwest. There is a tropical depression that's moved into northwestern Mexico that will be tracking across the southwest in the plains, possibly into the western Midwest, say Nebraska, into southwestern Minnesota, western Iowa, as we go into later on this week. And so, but even there, most of the heavier rainfall will be in areas of the southwest and actually provide some rains for winter wheat planting down in the southern plains.
And then if you look into, speaking of the winter wheat areas, they've been awfully dry. You suggest there might be some rainfall there, enough to help out, you suppose, and get them off to a good start?
Yeah, at least with the opportunities there, it's not going to improve across the entire Plains region, but overall with the pattern here coming up, specifically over the next 10 days, our forecast is calling for about 55-60% coverage of the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, picking up amounts in the range of 1/4 to 1.25. So a little over half of the belt improves, but there will likely still be some concerns with dryness as we go into the early part of October.
The planting season has begun in South America. They've had some really cold weather from time to time in the last couple of weeks. What do you see for them?
Well, temperatures are now warming up. We do not see any further cold shots such as what we saw back about a week ago. And the main news here coming up, well, two items. We have continued active conditions in southern Brazil, so that's going to limit any kind of early planting. And raised concern for winter wheat and excessive moisture issues. And then there's Mato Grosso, which the start of the rainy season is typically late September, early October. It does look like as we get into the second week of October, that's the window of opportunity for more daily development of showers and thunderstorms, which will be enough to increase soil moisture and kick off planting up north.
Thanks so much, Mark. Mark Russo is with Earth Risk Technology, wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report.